Sports Central. Sports Central.
Well, this story is about courage. It's about determination, resilience, optimism, and an inspiring example of how sport can play a part in including everyone. It's also a reminder that with the right attitude, anything is possible, with or without a disability. Jake Balestrino, our next guest, was born with what he describes as upper limb deficiency or bilateral deformation of the upper limbs, but he's never seen it as a disability. He's been able to achieve some magnificent things, and there's no big no mountain that he cannot climb, and he joins us here on Sunday Sports Central. Hey, great to catch up with you, Jake.
G'day, thank you, Brett.
Now, I suppose there's two parts to have a chat to you about today. The first one is your involvement in softball, but just before we sort of touch on the current, just take us through, I suppose, a bit of your own personal journey and relating that into sport.
Yeah, I've always been heavily involved in sport. I've always seen that as being something kind of break down, you know, barriers and that kind of stuff between, you know, myself and, you know, the quote-unquote able-bodied of the world. It's always been something that I've thought that, you know, I might not be able to, you know, play a sport as well as someone else, but as long as I'm out there giving it a go, I might try and, you know, earn some respect from some of the other guys, and especially growing up as a kid, you know, always in, heavily involved in, like, footy and that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's a lot of my mates I got through, you know, junior football.
Yeah. And I suppose your family has had a connection with softball, am I right in saying? And that's sort of been, I suppose, you know, it's surrounded you for a number of years, and there was an opportunity that came up to actually coach softball through the Sporting Schools program on behalf of the Werribee Softball Association.
Yeah. Well, Mum's been involved in softball most of her life. And, you know, growing up, my older brother and my sister were involved in softball at a bit of a young age, and I kind of followed in their footsteps. And then from playing to, well, you know, through juniors and that kind of stuff, I went into the umpiring role of things, and now there was an opportunity for my local club for a coach, and I said, oh, I'm happy to do that for the juniors, which then turned into, why don't you put your hand up and help out the Sporting Schools of Victoria? And, you know, because that's the feedback that I was getting was that they thought it would be beneficial. And I'm loving every second of it.
So, Jake, I mentioned, I suppose, the fact that you've got an upper limb deficiency, or it's a bilateral deformation of the upper limbs. Can you, I suppose, paint a picture for our audience out there as to what actually happened and what does it restrict you from doing or not restrict you from doing?
Well, it doesn't. I've you know, my whole life I've made sure that it hasn't been restricting of anything.
Yeah.
You know, except counting to 10. Like, I had to take my shoes and socks off as a kid, because, you know, everyone else has got the 10 fingers, yeah, and I've only got the 5. But, you know, as a bit of a description, you know, it's if you think of how a T-Rex arm is, I've got 2 of them type of thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wanted to mention that the Sporting Schools program is Australia's largest school-based participation program. It's actually funded by the Australian Sports Commission. It brings together schools and sports to help get children active in their local communities. You've been involved in a couple of primary schools out there in Werribee, and there's a young Sudanese boy by the name of Michael that you've developed a bit of an attachment to. Tell us a bit about that story.
Yeah, I took on a role at St Andrews Primary School, and without even knowing that there was a couple of kids there that had disabilities. But when I got the email confirmation to say, can you come here on these days? And then it was a footnote type of thing. We've also got that saying, we've also got this young student named Michael who has cerebral palsy.
Yeah.
He might struggle, but I'm pretty sure that, you know, this all in the footnote. You know, I'm pretty sure there'll be a way around it. You know, would you be interested in doing a bit of one-on-one with him? And I jumped at the idea. I love that, the fact that people looked at me when assigning that school to me to say, well, there's a young fellow with with cerebral palsy, but, you know, Jake might be able to help him because he's had to overcome, you know, simple things like putting a glove on a hand.
Yep.
I've had to find a way to kind of manipulate a glove around me instead of, you know, me around the glove type of thing. Where, you know, everyone else, they just slide their hand in and it's all honky-dory.
Mm.
With myself, I went through about 40 or 50 different old gloves, new gloves, you know, all these other stuff, left-handed gloves, right-handed gloves, all this other stuff to try and compensate for the fact that, you know, the glove would have to stay on my hand somehow. And then I thought, you know, I had to remember back to that when I was coaching Michael. The main problem that I faced with him was his left hand.
Yep.
Couldn't open fully.
Yep.
And it was mainly a fist 90% of the time. He told me, I really want to play softball, but I can't put a glove on because I've got to put it on my throwing hand.
So you've been working on this sort of modifying glove.
Yeah. So what I ended up doing was I ended up taking off the back of a glove and modifying it a little bit,
yep.
Similar to one of the things that I did to my glove, where I released the back strap so we could get his hand in,
sure.
And then I kind of worked around it where I made him open his hand. We slid the glove in as best as we could, but I did run into the problem of if the ball comes at him really fast and he misgloves it because of the way his hand has to kind of not necessarily crush itself in there, but if a ball hits it, he's probably 90% sure he's going to break a finger, and that's obviously the last thing you want to do. But I've tried to work around that, and it's been very difficult. But, you know, the other option is you give him a glove for the hand that he can kind of use, and then the only thing that, as a sport, it's unfortunate because then you catch the ball, you have to take the glove off, pick up the ball again, throw the ball. So that's kind of a little bit of a time-wasting thing. That's why I tried so heavily to make sure that he could put a glove on his opposite hand. That way all he had to do was kind of stick the hand out.
Yeah. Hey, you're also, that's an amazing story, the young Sudanese boy. And also there's another student that you've been coaching that's got floating harbour syndrome. Can you explain what that is to me and I suppose the challenges?
Yeah, to the best of my knowledge, it's where the young girl had everything on her was compact. Everything, her arms were really short, her legs were really short, almost as if she was 2 or 3 years old. Type of, you know, she looked like a toddler in a room full of kids that weren't much taller than her, but definitely could tell that as a safety thing, I had to make sure that, you know, the kids weren't being silly with bats and all that stuff, which they weren't, which was great. I loved that. But I had to make sure that, you know, if they were going to throw her the ball, that they weren't going to throw it overly hard, even though we were using soft equipment. I stressed more over her than I did over Michael, because Michael could get out of the way and that kind of stuff, whereas I kind of stressed more about her because, you know, all the other kids would take one step to get out of the way of a ball. She'd have to take 2 or 3.
Yep. Hey, we're talking to Jake Pellestrino. It's a great story. Breaking down barriers. 25 years of age, he was born with what he describes as upper limb deficiency or bilateral deformation of the upper limbs. He's been coaching softball and helping out a couple of young aspiring softballers. And the other part about your story, Jake, is your love of table tennis and an ambition to go to the 2020 Tokyo Paralympics.
Yeah, that's been the main goal for me the last probably 3 years. I was looking at hopefully going to Rio, but due to some circumstances that were outside of our control, the new zoning of the world and that kind of stuff, our region was no longer Asia Pacific, it's mm-hmm. now Oceania, which is great for us. But the biggest problem with that is that the likes of Fiji, New Caledonia, New Zealand just didn't have that player base, didn't
yep.
have all the different classifications, your wheelchair players, your standing players, and that, all of that kind of stuff. So that made it difficult for a few of our squad to qualify, and myself being one of them, if we had have had either a Class 6 or a Class 7, myself being a Class 7, if we had have had that, it would have meant that we would have had a Class 6 or 7 go over to Rio and qualify at the regionals last year. And because there wasn't any international Class 6s or 7s, we had to open it up from being a 6-7 comp to being a 6-10 comp. So then that meant that the 15-ish players that we sent to regionals had to all fight for one spot. So that made everything a lot more difficult for us.
Quite amazing. So 2020 is on the horizon. What have you got to go through over the next period of time to make that a reality?
So the next regionals would be for the World Games, which the regionals are next year in Fiji.
Yep.
So I've got to get over there and hopefully, you know, do my thing and win some matches. And then there's also other qualifiers for to get your international points up. There's a Thailand Para Open that I went to this year, and that gets you 40 points towards your 200 point, I think it is.
Great stuff.
200 point benchmark to be internationally qualified.
Well, it's quite amazing. Coaching, umpiring softball, you've got an ambition to play table tennis and go to the Paralympics. And if you couldn't fit anything else into your busy schedule, you're actually a graphic artist, having completed an advanced diploma in interactive digital media. So there's not much spare time.
No, there's not. I don't get a lot of sleep these days.
Hey, great story. In fact, we just had an SMS come through. When human kindness looks bland, along comes Jake. Good luck, mate. There you go. A nice, simple message. Hey, well done. And it just goes to show anything's possible in life, and a really good story. And keep doing some great work out there in the community with the softball, of course, which is coming back into the Olympics in Tokyo in 2020. And good luck with the table tennis. We'll keep in touch.
Thank you very much.